All right, let's get into it. In this lesson, we're building an Amen Impact in Ableton Live 12 that's got that old-school rave pressure, but still feels right in a modern drum and bass track. And just to be clear, we're not making a long nostalgic loop. We're turning the Amen into an edit weapon. Something short, sharp, and confident. The kind of phrase that can hit before a drop, mark a switch up, or act like a call and response moment before the bass answers. That's the mindset here. Think call signs, not fills. You want the listener to hear a small amount of drum language and instantly feel the authority of jungle history, but without cluttering the groove. In DNB, that balance matters a lot, because the Amen already carries so much identity. If you shape it well, it can give you rave memory, tension, and motion all at once. So first, set up a dedicated audio track, something like Amen Impact Edit. Drop your Amen sample in there, and set the project tempo around 170 to 174 BPM. That way, your edits are being judged in the same rhythmic world as the track you're actually making. If the sample isn't warped yet, turn warp on and choose your mode carefully. Beats mode is usually the safest starting point if you want to keep the transients punchy. Use a transient amount that lets the slices speak clearly, but don't over-quantize everything into robotic grid life. For old-school pressure, a little looseness is good. You want controlled instability, not sterile drum programming. Now loop a short section of the break and listen for the best combination of hits. Usually, you're hunting for a strong kick, a solid snare, maybe the ghost note, and maybe one fragment with a nice bit of room or movement. Don't think in terms of using the whole break. Think in terms of choosing the few hits that say the most. Next, right-click and slice a new MIDI track. For an organic feel, transient slicing is usually best. If you want a more deliberate chopped style, 1/16 slicing can work too. Ableton will build a drum rack from the slices, and that's where the edit starts becoming musical instead of just sampled. Now audition the slices and pick the ones with real identity. Usually the main ingredients are the first kick or pickup, the strongest snare, maybe a ghost snare before it, and possibly one tiny fill fragment if it helps the phrase move forward. Then program a simple one-bar MIDI clip. A strong old-school structure might look like this in spirit: a kick and tail on beat 1, a snare accent on beat 2, maybe the ghost or little roll on beat 3, then another snare or fill lead-in on beat 4. Keep it sparse. This is not about constant motion. It's about authority. At this point, start shaping the individual slices. This is where advanced edit work really happens. Don't treat every hit the same. The main kick may need saturator with soft clip-on, maybe a bit of drive, and then a Q8 if it needs more weight in the low mids or low end. Drum bus can help add punch and transient push, but use it carefully. On the snare, focus on crack and presence. A little saturation, a little drum bus, and maybe a small cut in the boxy low-mid area around the mid-hundreds can make a big difference. If the snare needs more snap, a gentle lift in the upper-mids can help. The idea is that the snare should feel like the authority of the edit. In old-school jungle language, the snare is often the thing that tells the story. If the break feels too roomy or messy, use gate or a simpler style shortening approach to tighten the tails. You do want some roominess for vintage character, but the kick and the main accents need to hit cleanly. The listener should feel the break, not get buried inside it. Now let's add movement. This is the difference between a loop and a proper edit. Use small phrasing changes and ghost notes. Maybe a tiny pickup before the snare, maybe a low-level hat fragment, maybe a short fill leading into the next bar. Keep the velocities shaped properly too. Main hits should be strong. Ghost notes should be much lower. That contrast creates the breathe and snap feeling that makes a break sound alive. If needed, you can add a subtle groove, but keep it modest. A little swing goes a long way. The goal is human movement, not sloppy timing. Now for the rave pressure part. Duplicate the Amen Impact track and make a second lane for tension. This can be your pre-hit layer. Add a short reverb with a controlled top end, maybe a low-pass automation with auto-filter, or even reverse one of the slices so it leads into the main impact. That reversed inhale is pure tension language. A useful move is to automate a low-pass filter rising from a darker point into a brighter point right before the hit. That gives you that classic rave anticipation, like the system is drawing a breath before it slams. And then, right after the hit, cut it back. That contrast is what makes the phrase feel huge. After that, group the Amen slices into a dedicated drum bus. This is where you glue everything together. On the bus, use a Q8 to clean up unnecessary sub-rumble if needed. Then glue compressor with moderate settings, so it catches peaks without flattening the break. A little drum bus can help unify the phrase and give it extra weight, and a bit of saturator can add density. Be careful not to overcompress. If you squash the life out of the brake, you lose the old-school swing and all that sampled authority. The boss should make the phrase feel together, not lifeless. If the impact is fighting the kick or sub, use subtle side-chain compression on the amen bus keyed from the bass or the main kick. Keep the ducking minimal, just enough to make room. In bass music, the low end has to stay disciplined. The amen can be powerful, but the sub still needs to rule the bottom. Now think arrangement. This part is huge. A great amen edit and solo means nothing if it's not doing a job in the track. Use it as an 8-bar intro tease, a 4-bar build to a drop, a 1-bar impact right before the bass comes in, or a switch up in the middle of the drop. You can even use it as a DJ-friendly turnaround in the outro. One of the strongest uses is right before the drop. Trip the arrangement down hard, let the bass disappear for a moment, and then let the amen hit act like the last announcement before everything opens up. That tiny vacuum before the impact makes the edit feel much bigger. And now, automation. Automation is how you build energy without making the mix messy. You can automate the filter opening, the saturator drive increasing slightly on the last hit, the reverb, wetness on the pre-hit layer, or even clip gain for a final lift. A small gain rise of 1 or 2 dB before the drop can make the transition feel much bigger than it really is. You can also automate the filter so it opens only on the last snare and then slams back down. That sudden release is classic rave energy. It's simple, but it works. Let's talk low-end discipline for a second, because this is where live edits fall apart. Use utility on the amen bus if needed to keep the core centered. Don't let stereo processing wreck your punch. Anything below roughly 120 Hz should stay controlled and focused. If the width gets too wide, the edit may feel huge in headphones, but weak in mono or on a club system. So always check mono. If the kick disappears, if the snare gets hollow, or if the impact loses shape in mono, the stereo processing is doing too much. Keep the punch centered and let width be a supporting effect, not the main event. A few common mistakes to watch out for. First, don't over-edit the amen. Too many slices can kill the authority of the break. Second, don't pile on too much low end in the break layer. The break is not the sub. Third, don't over-compress and flatten the swing. Fourth, don't drown the impact in reverb. Big tails may sound exciting in solo, but in context they can blur the drop. And finally, don't forget arrangement. If the edit doesn't answer a phrase or announce a change, it can feel random no matter how good it sounds on its own. If you want to take this further, try making three versions of the same amen impact. One version should be raw and jungle-like, with minimal processing and a strong old-school feel. One version should be more tension-heavy, with reverse slices, filter movement, and a short reverb swell. And one version should be tight and modern, with cleaner low-end control, subtle saturation, and a stronger bus chain for a darker club feel. Keep all three to 1 or 2 bars, use only stock Ableton devices, and test them in a bassline context at 174 BPM. The important question is not just which one sounds coolest in solo, it's which one leaves the best space for the drop, which one feels like a statement, and which one works best on a big system. So the big takeaway is this: treat the amen as an edit weapon, choose the right slices, give each hit a job, shape the transients, control the low end, and place it in the arrangement where it actually means something. When you do that, the result is old-school rave history with modern DNB precision. That's the sweet spot. That's the pressure. And that's how you make an amen impact that hits like it means business.